What's up, everyone? Orange County unfortunately didn't pick up 3 points this past weekend as they conceded 2 goals and only scored 1 goal against Birmingham Legion. But, you know, what can you do? What can you say? There was a lot going on, injury, sickness. I think it was the biggest injury slash sickness report that I've actually seen them cover on a USL stream. Usually it's just like three names max, and I think they were gracious enough to put like every single name they could think of. Hey, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about more. Hey, it's US Open Cup weekend. Hey, we get to watch the match. Are we excited? I am. Let's get into this. Welcome to the Podcast of Champions. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. Follow us on Twitter at OCSC_SoccerCast or on Facebook at Orange and Black Soccer Cast.
How's it going, Orange County? Welcome to another episode of the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, the first and only podcast dedicated to Orange County Soccer Club, its fans, and supporters. I'm your host, Ray Samora. I'm here to take you through this journey as we discuss all things Orange County Soccer Club. Joining me back in his number one spot each week, I believe, is we got Brad from Las Vegas. Brad, how does it feel to be introduced first?
Back to normal. Same old, but we got a lot to talk about. I won't waste more time.
We won't waste time. I'm anticipating Dylan on here at some point. So once he jumps on, our producer will throw him onto the stream. But we're going to jump right into the conversation because we got a guest willing to join us off the bat. And that's the president of Orange County Soccer Club, Mr. Dan Rutstein. Dan, how are we doing? There's a lot of stuff for you to discuss here. But before we get into all that, how are you doing? Welcome back to the show.
Well, very kind of you to ask. I am fine, thank you. Like you, I would have liked 3 points on Saturday, but this is a very big week coming up. So I'm excited to be on here. Thank you for having me back. And I look forward to talking to you about the things that I want to talk to you about and avoiding the questions that I don't want to answer.
Well, here's what we'll do. I'm going to open it up. What do you want to discuss first? Because, again, there was a lot of news leaked over the weekend, a lot of information. Thing you want to get into first? I'll give you the ability to start it.
Wasn't prepared for that. So I definitely want to talk about the Open Cup. It's exciting. We love the Open Cup. We're pleased that you're going to be able to watch it. But probably the right place to start, because this will come up at some point, is the statement that we put out on Sunday morning. So as some of you fans will have seen, we deleted it and blocked it as soon as we could. But on Saturday after the game, in the way social media works, an anonymous post appeared with a racial slur. It's not something that we accept. As soon as we saw it, it was deleted, reported and blocked. But obviously, you don't know who it is because this is how social media seems to work nowadays. This is not new. This has not happened to us before, but it's happened to probably most soccer clubs at some point. In England, very famously, it happened after England lost on penalties last time around, to the point where Jason Sudeikis wore it for the premiere of the last season of Ted Lasso, supporting the players had been racially abused. It's a function of today's society, unfortunately. We're having none of it at this club. So we got to work and obviously put out a statement making it very clear that that is completely unacceptable. If people do it in the stadium, they will be banned. And if they do it on social media, we will do our best to block them and ban them as much as anyone can control social media. But it has come to Orange County Soccer Club, I think, for the first time. And we dealt with it in the only way that we can. So I just want to sort of bring that up front. I don't know if any of you gents saw I'm not going to go into detail what's in the post, but I know a couple of our fans responded to it saying exactly the sort of things that we're not allowed to say, but saying the sort of things we want to say. And obviously we took it down. But that is, I guess, probably where we should start.
Yeah, and you know, thank you so much for getting that sort of statement out quickly. I know when it comes to the back end of stuff, you know, media press releases and all that stuff, sometimes it's a long process. It has to go through checks and balances, and a lot of people have to see it. And it definitely feels like the club was felt the urgency of getting that message out quicker. You know, of course, getting the right statement out, but trying to get it out quicker rather than wait until everyone got their chance to maybe analyze it 5, 6, 7 times. So appreciate for that. How was that different than maybe a normal press release? Was this something where there was an urgency seen throughout the back ends of the club that we need to get something out right away and we want to make sure people know we don't stand for this?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think it was, you know, I got home at, I think, 11 o'clock at night from the game, in the way that, you know, there's a lot of stuff to do after the game. It was spotted quickly. We talked about it. Obviously, it was deleted as soon as it could be by the social media team. And then we go up on Sunday morning. I wrote a first draft of the release. We turned it into a graphic. There was a second draft of the release. We proved the grammar, cleaned up the message, and got it out as pretty much as quickly as we could. That's probably the fastest we've turned around one of these, apart from maybe the statement after we saved the stadium last year. So, but it's important. I was very keen. So something that I feel very strongly about, the owner feels very strongly about. So we're very keen to turn this around quickly so that there wasn't any doubt that we were going to do something. And that, you know, a lot of people get up late on Sunday, and pretty much by the time people woke up, they saw that we put this out. And, you know, the response has been supportive. Monterey Bay said something in support. They had a version of this last year. And we've had, again, a lot of support. It'll probably be one of our most viewed posts of the year. It's not about publicity. It's about making sure that people know exactly where we stand on this and that it's an important issue for us.
Yeah. And, you know, again, props to all the people that maybe first recognized that and for letting someone know. Obviously, like you mentioned, it's social media. It's sort of this anonymous thing. People feel like they can say whatever they want because you won't find out who I am. You can't see who I am. But obviously, as a podcast, we don't stand for that type of behavior. As a supporters group, I know the Caroline Coalition does not support that type of behavior. I know there's, you know, been incidents of fans sitting next to CLC maybe making some chants or some comments that are not appropriate, and CLC will let those fans know, hey, that's not welcome here. Do that somewhere else. Don't do it here at our stadium. Support our players. Support our players. Support the other team as far as being respectful and all that stuff. So thank you for that. Any Dylan, Brad, I don't know if either of you have any thoughts or comments on that before we move on to some of these other topics.
I mean, you guys covered it perfectly. Racism doesn't belong in the sport, no matter what form, what language, what league. It just doesn't belong.
And I think Dylan's silence there, he's just going to – we'll move on. Let's talk about something a little bit more fun, I guess. There is still – I want to talk about sort of how the club is doing, because I know there was a lot of injuries, a lot of sickness going on throughout the club. But let's hold out that. I want to get some more fun stuff. I know the Open Cup is coming up this Wednesday, and when it was first announced that this match was going to be happening, I believe it was Portland came out right away, said no stream will be available for this. From what I know, there was a lot of talk on the back end between yourself, your team, Orange County. I think Portland was involved in it. And then we find out CBS wants to get involved in this, which is amazing. And you all were able to make a stream happen for this. How important was that for the club to get a stream going for the fans to be able to watch this match?
So, look, the Open Cup, I think some of you know that I love the Open Cup. I love cup competitions. I grew up on this stuff. Whatever level of team you support in England, you're either fearful of it because you support a top team and you hate getting knocked out by lower league teams, or in my case, you're often a team in the lower levels hoping to beat a bigger team. And so I've always been a fan of the cup. And as a fan of a team playing the lower levels in England, you know, FA Cup time is our chance to do something special. And that applies absolutely here. So the Open Cup is a magnificent competition. In last year, hundreds of you guys jumped on a bus went down to LAFC and we played against the team who ended up being, you know, the MLS Open Cup champ. So therefore the best team in American soccer. They beat us 5-1 and they had the courtesy of bringing on Carlos Vela at the end just to make sure we lost. But, you know, what an amazing opportunity. So we did our business in the first round against Capistrano, make sure we're through. And then, I don't know if any of you watched the draw, the slightly weird envelope thing they do here with regional groups, which I find slightly strange. I'm not quite sure how you do it differently given the geographies, but it's a very strange draw process. It was a weird one this year, particularly because obviously they do it geographically differently every year. And why we're in a group with, you know, Seattle and Portland and not in a group with geographically more proximate teams, I'm not entirely sure. But we knew we'd get an MLS team because they told us, you know, in the rules it said we would. So some of the excitement wasn't there. And then when it was announced San Diego weren't going to be at home, we basically had a 2 in 3 chance of being at home, which we were very excited about because who wouldn't want to bring an MLS team to the Championship Soccer Stadium to play one single game against us? Obviously not to bring in an MLS Next Pro team to throw us out. So it was potentially very exciting. And then we were drawn away, which was very disappointing. And as soon as we were drawn away, obviously internally we started talking about how we're going to get this on. Is it going to be, you know, streaming? Are we going to get it on linear television? How can we do this? And then obviously Portland announced that the game, for some reason, well, they didn't announce this, but it didn't make the top 8 or whatever it is to go on Bleacher Report. So Portland said they weren't going to stream it, which is their decision. So we were straight on the phone to US Soccer, on the phone to Portland. We took the decision pretty early that we wanted to make sure this was on. And we made phone calls and pressured people and talked to people and went through various iterations of it. And we were delighted when we found out a couple of days ago that not only was it going to be on, it was going to be on this new CBS Galazzo sort of network. We'd have, you know, we'd be on, it's on Pluto TV and so on for linear, but it's on Paramount Plus. It's the home of the Champions League. It's now the home of our game. It's very exciting. And we're delighted because we know you, the fans, going to Portland on a Wednesday night is quite a big ask. So we were very pleased to give you what you want, which is a chance to watch your team play in, you know, a potentially huge game, pitting our wits against a higher level team. So we were delighted to be able to get this across the line. We're very pleased where it's being played. And we're also, as you will have seen this afternoon, very pleased to have a watch party up and running, which we will staff in the way we like to staff these watch parties and hope that room is as full as it was when you guys all filled a room for what is now legendary footage from when we beat Tampa Bay.
And again, props to making it work. And the amazing part is, you know, like you mentioned, the channel is available on Pluto TV. So for those that maybe don't have a Paramount Plus subscription or something like that, you're still able to watch it without having to shell out a month subscription to Paramount Plus or I don't even know if they offer a free trial. So that's a great availability to watch the match. I'll hand it off to Brad.
Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead. So another thing, I'm not really wearing the right color for it, but tomorrow we're going to be talking about the one thing I've complained about all season is New Jersey's coming in. And you gave us a little teaser, I believe it was yesterday, the orange kid. It's orange with some white stripes is what people were able to decipher. Any further insight on that or you're going to keep tight-lipped?
I'm not sure we actually said there would be a new kit launch. We just posted a video with a date. Yes. When your podcast name begins with the word orange, you will have noticed we have played in predominantly black kits this season. So only feels right that we should play in an orange kit at some point. Tomorrow at a time that I'm not sure the marketing team have told me, we will be revealing a new kit, which is very exciting, I hope. Every team needs at least 2 kits in a season, maybe more, and we're excited that there'll be an orange kit.
I like hearing, I heard the maybe more. So does that mean fans can be excited further down the line? Maybe there'll be a third kid or any specialty kits, or is that nothing you're aware of at the time, Dan?
I mean, right, you could ask me that question. I'm not sure I could give an answer that would satisfy everybody. So I think it's probably a case of wait and see. So, I mean, Brad, are you excited about potentially an orange kit?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally the team looks better in orange and performs better in orange or blue. We did win the cup in blue. But no, it's just, it's nice having hype around kits. It's something people like to collect. I like sharing it off with people who will listen to me ramble on about minor league soccer teams or second division soccer teams. So it's just more good news for the club to hear.
Yeah, look, you remember the statement that we put out. I'm losing track of time now, but a few weeks ago, indicating that perhaps our kits, we would have liked our kits to arrive slightly earlier, but they were unable to due to some issues with our kit supplier. Not sure quite how we would have chosen to do things had we been in complete control, but we're now back in control, and we're very pleased that the kit is being launched tomorrow. And I mean, if you were a betting man, what would we wear against an MLS team?
I guess something pretty.
Something pretty that's not blue. So, yes. It's exciting. No, look, everyone loves a kit launch. My son's birthday present last week was the only one of the three goalkeepers' kits for AFC Wimbledon that he didn't have. So we now both have all three. So I think I've got six Wimbledon kits this year. And in the way teams do, they're changing to a new supplier next year. So I'll have to buy another six for me and probably six for him next year. That is how soccer works. I'm not sure we're going to have three goalkeepers' kits to unveil. And even if we did, I'm not sure anyone would buy all three of them. But, you know, kits are exciting. And we've only got a black one, so it's only right that we bring out an orange one.
Oh, I think Dylan is having some audio issues because we cannot hear what he's about to ask. He'll try and fix that. We'll let Dylan try to figure out what's going on with the audio. You mentioned, I'm going to sort of go off of our topics here that we have, but you mentioned AFC Wimbledon. We all know you're a huge supporter. Does Wrexham scare you for next season? Because it looks like if you all stay in League Two and Wrexham's making the jump up, do they scare you?
Yeah,
was it exciting for you as a fan to potentially, it'll potentially open up opportunities because I think people want to watch Wrexham in the States.
Yeah, it's a really interesting question, actually. I think people have become obsessed with Wrexham. Some people see it as an amazing thing, and they've done it the right way. Some people are complaining that this team's getting all the attention because of Hollywood stars and they're not caring about their own local team who play at the same level. That's a complaint I've heard here and I've heard back in the UK as well. On the day that they got promoted, we were confirmed that we would be staying in the division. We've had a ridiculous run of form. So I know last year you were all getting very upset, rightly, because I think Orange County dropped 24 points from winning positions last year. AFC Wimbledon have dropped 38 points from winning positions this year, and we're in free fall. And if there was more than two games left in the year, we'd almost definitely be getting relegated back to where Wrexham have come from. But we are staying in League Two, so we will be playing against Wrexham. And it'll be interesting. They bought our best player last year for a transfer fee that teams at that level shouldn't be paying, but we couldn't say no to. So we've contributed in some ways to their rise. And in fact, one of our main sponsors, John Green, the celebrity vlogger and author over here, who's a big follower of AFC Wimbledon, gave advice to Ryan Reynolds, who he's friends with, about how to buy a club and how to do it properly. So we've in part created this monster who we're going to play next year. As long as we feature in the documentary, I think we're fine with it.
There we go. That would be amazing, right? Opportunity. And again, like, how often do you see a League Two team game match on like TNT or something like that, or on Bleacher Report? And that might be an availability because people want to watch Wrexham out here, which would be fun for you.
Yeah, 100%. And you've probably seen the announcement. They're coming to San Diego to play against Manchester United. We did make inquiries. We know some people at Wrexham. And actually, we would be a much better fit for them because Orange County versus Wrexham level-wise is a very legitimate fixture. But we don't quite have the following of Manchester United. So they've taken that decision for commercial reasons.
So I'm going to ask Dylan, has your audio been fixed or you don't think so? Let's try it.
I highly doubt it.
Oh, he's super quiet.
It's very quiet. So either if you yell or you put your mouth right on wherever the microphone is that you're using, we might hear you better.
I'm likely not going to yell.
All right, well, let's do this. I'll read the question because he typed it out. So I'm going to read it verbatim. So this was Dylan's comment here. Plenty to look forward to with orange kits and a bunch of bright starlets. But what is maybe less exciting is the uncertainty about our stadium next season. Do you have any updates for the fans on where we might be in 2024?
So I'm only going to ask that question if Dylan actually says the words himself. No. Look, it's a good question, Dylan. And an entirely fair question. So you all saw what went on, obviously, at the back end of last year. It was a very emotional time for the club, for the staff, for the fans, and the outpouring of support during the crisis and after the crisis was obviously incredible. There's not an enormous amount I can say at this stage in terms of what it's looking like. I can say that we are not desperately worrying about where we're going to play next year and having to rally the support of the soccer world to come to our aid. We're definitely not asking anyone to come to any city council meetings anytime soon. So there's nothing to announce, but we are talking to people and we're talking to people calmly and they're talking to us calmly. And the relationship is very different to the one that I waded into in my sixth day in the job last year. It is something that if I were a fan of the team, I mean, so I am a fan of the team, but if I was in your position, I would definitely want to know the answer to. I can promise you that I will, as soon as there is something meaningful to say, we will make sure that you are aware of it. I don't want to say anything too soon. I don't want to get people worrying about things or thinking about things or trying to help with things. I just will share information when I can. And it's not a brilliant answer for your podcast. And if I was hosting your podcast as I do, I would probably try and ask 3 or 4 follow-up questions and then get irritated because I'm not really going to give any more information than that. But, you know, feel free to ask me this every time I come on. And I will, you know, I can promise transparency when there's something to say, but there's just nothing I can say at the moment. But we're definitely not anywhere near as worried and upset as we were at the back end of last year.
All right. So Dan has given us permission. If he doesn't give us the answer we want to hear, just keep asking it, change the wording, and maybe we'll get him to slip. No, I'm joking. Let me do this. And I don't want to get you in trouble with anyone else in the club. I don't want to get you in trouble with Oliver or Coach Richard Chaplow, but we all know, I mean, you're knowledgeable on the sport. You've watched the sport, you support clubs, you watch this team play. What was your thoughts on the action this past weekend against Birmingham? What did you like that you saw from the club, and what is maybe something that is frustrating you maybe in more the, like you mentioned, you're a fan of this team also. We know you're the president, but you also love this team. What is it that frustrated you maybe from this team this past weekend that you saw there? And again, don't want to get you in trouble, so don't say anything that'll get you in trouble.
No, I appreciate that, right? I mean, I think, look, obviously I'm privy to lots of things because of where I am, but actually at the end of the day, we all watch the same game. And so I was delighted with our start. It was great. Emil is turning into the Danish bull. Is it? He's turning into a cracking player for us. You know, that first goal was a great goal actually as well. If you look at sort of how it happened, you know, Alex won the ball back with a vigorous but fair challenge on the edge of the box. Ryan Dogman, who's my kid's favourite player because he's got the same name as one of their cartoon characters, you know, plays it across, appears at the back stick, knocks it in, and it's great. And we're playing well. And you think when that happens after the game last week that you're going to kick on. And I think, like other people. I was frustrated, you know, the goals we conceded, the defending, given the quality of defenders we have. And I'm echoing something that Richard Chaplow said in his post-game interview. You know, it was frustrating to give away goals like that. And you look at how we defended the previous week, the defence should have done better, and they know that, and the gaffer told them that. I think the frustrating thing, I think we can all see it this year, is I'm not sure how much of a believer in XG I am, but I am a believer in scoring lots of goals. And some of it's been bad luck. I mean, Correa was magnificent when he came on the pitch. You know, him and Bryce are incredible young players. And we're missing Bryce because he's played so well. He goes off and gets his call up, which is a, you know, the curse of having brilliant young players. But Correa had real impact, probably his best performance of the year. You know, he was, what, 3 inches away from that going in? And then their keeper pulls off a quite ridiculous save at the end to deny us a point. You know, the sort of save that you do not expect a keeper to make, because they normally should be diving the other way as much as anything else. So we were unlucky. Now, we shouldn't have been in a position where we were chasing the game, but we're definitely unlucky not to to get something from it. But, you know, there are games this year we could probably have scored 3 or 4 goals. And XG bears that out. And they're players who have, would normally put some of them away. The good thing is it means that we are, at some point, it's all going to click and we're going to have a game where we score 3 or 4 goals against somebody. We're obviously hoping it's on Wednesday. But then also, you know, it can happen against New Mexico. Or the one we really want is against San Diego when they come to town. So the team are playing well. And they're creating the chances, which is important. But I tell you, I share your view. We're watching the same game. You know, we need to score more goals. And the defence, who've been pretty solid, didn't perform as solidly as you would have liked for that spell in the game. Would you disagree with any of that?
I probably agree with your analysis of that. I mean, I can't remember. I believe it was the first goal, but maybe it was the second. But I remember I was really frustrated because I can't remember who it was, but whoever our defender was asking for the foul or the offside and was not tracking back. And that led ultimately to that goal. I think for me, that was the most frustrating part of it. I get that's part of the game, right? You're trying to do that because you want to force the ref to blow the whistle. But then we see when that doesn't work, now you're putting the goalie in a really dangerous situation, and we conceded a goal there. And I think that sort of sums up the way the defense played in this match, which sucks because, like you mentioned, they've been pretty solid this season. But things like that are just it's one of those things when you're the last line, you know, literally last line of defense there besides the goalie. It's hard because you won't be able to stop someone if that's the case, if it doesn't go your way. And unfortunately, it didn't go our way, right? And yeah, there's been, I think all season long, there's been some good chances on goal that we just, for whatever reason, can't get them through, right? A shot off the post that does not bounce. I mean, literally an inch more to the left, it bounces into the net, but it bounces, you know, out of the goal type things. And, you know, the amazing save, I think I was hanging out with Dylan at the time, and I told him that that's right there, that their save of the week, right, for USL is that save, because it was such an important thing. Yeah, it gets maybe frustrating at a certain point, but I guess we're still early enough in the season where things can turn around. And if things are at least going the right way, maybe it will turn around, right? So hopefully that's the case.
Yeah, it's a weird league. It's always been a weird league. If you look at the results, teams who should be winning games, you know, are winning against a strong team one week and then losing the following week. Yeah, there's an inconsistency among other teams, which is helpful in a way in terms of how far you are away from where you need to be. And again, you know, if you look at 2021, everyone's favourite season, we were drifting up until probably the middle of the year. And then you put a decent run together, you sneak into the playoffs, and the next thing you know, you've won the championship. So I'm not, you know, I'm not predicting anything, and I'm not involved on the technical side, but we're still, you know, I think if we'd scored 2 goals this year that we didn't score, we'd be sort of 6th or 7th in the table. And you've just got to get into the playoffs to set things off. So we know we can play better. And, you know, echoing you know, something Richard Chaplow says in these interviews. You know, the players know, and it's going to come together at some point. And we've got high standards, and we've got to make sure that we stick to them. People, here's a question for you. I know it's your podcast, but I'm going to ask a question anyway. How do you find Ederson's pre-match previews and his post-match interviews that are a new feature of this year?
I would say Dylan probably isn't going to be able to answer that because he's not really on social media as much, so he probably doesn't see them. I've caught glimpses of them, but I'll be 100% honest. I haven't really sat and watched them or listened to them too much. Maybe the one that would pay attention most might be our producer Andy, but I can't answer for him. I do like that's there, because that's something that's nice to see, is the access behind things. Producer Andy's on the stream here, so I'll let him talk.
It's pretty rare I get a title, so thank you, Ray. Appreciate that. Dan, great question. Speaking for myself and a few people that I've talked to, I think especially the post game stuff, I think is great. I feel like as a team, we were kind of lacking that the last few years. You know, Edison's great. I met him at the city council meetings. He seems like a really good dude. And I think the video content, I think, is just outstanding. That's for me.
Excellent. Delighted to hear that. I'll pass that on. I think it's something I felt very strongly about. And as some of you know, I did some of the post-game stuff last year. Ederson's probably better at it than me, which is just slightly frustrating for me. So I'm letting him do it. But I think it's good. You know, we've got to lean more into giving fans access to players. And as you probably expect us to do for next week, and I want to do this more and more, but Ederson will be traveling with the team when they jet off to Oregon, and we'll be, you know, sort of making and creating content all the way, and we're going to look at doing that. We're not going to do it for every road trip. Becomes very expensive, and some of the places aren't that much fun to go to, and it will be difficult to get what we need from it, but for the big games, for the local games, for the interesting games, we're going to try and sort of give you a bit more, because I think it's important that fans get that sort of that insight that is an important part of getting close to the people you worship on the field on a Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's awesome. Go, Brad.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is one of those leagues, you know, you don't really get it in the Premier League or anywhere else, but fan engagement, access to the players in this league is completely different. You know, you get to learn a lot about these players and watch them grow and get up to this area. So that's one thing that allows podcasts like us to even exist in the first place, is how many other forums are there that players join and you get to personally ask them a question, be it vocally or in chat.
Yeah. And look, this is the magic of a club like Orange County Soccer Club, and why people love the USL, and why I'm a fan of a team in League Two. It's access and proximity and community. You know, there are, when the players walk off the field, they know the names of some of the kids. You don't get that at Chelsea. And so I think it's really important that we have that bond. And, you know, we try and give people access to the players. Obviously, we do the big autograph thing at the end of the year, but there's all sorts of other opportunities where fans can engage with players. And I think that's really important. Social media is part of it. Some of it is about direct engagement, like you guys have on the podcast. And then some of it is just a sort of window into what they're doing. But no, I'm glad it's appreciated. And some of the comments popping up suggest that it's something that people want. And I'm proud to say that Ederson's excellent at it. And we know you want it, and we're going to do more of it.
Yeah, definitely. It's amazing to get that content because, again, there's not a lot of coverage from the media for Orange County. You know, they get little blurbs and pieces here, maybe in LA Times or a Register, but it's nice to get some more of that engagement because you want to know more about what's going on with the team. So obviously that's a great thing. Let me just ask something, you know, because it did come up in some discussions pre-show. You know, I believe it was your son's birthday recently. I think you mentioned that as well. And he got to be captain this last match, right? How did he enjoy that? Did he like that experience? Was he excited?
Yeah. And look, I mean, it's again, this is all about the sort of community of the club. So he brought, I think there was 24 in our group. It was quite interesting. I went through the process. I was a group leader. I spoke to our ticket wizard, Matthew Fonseca, and I said, I'd like to bring a group, please, for a birthday party. And he sold me a package. And I brought six families along, including my son and his best friend. His best friend's dad sung the anthem, which was very good. He's a very good anthem singer. And he got to be honorary captain. He's a goalkeeper, and he was very excited that he got to meet Cody. So he's meant to lead the team out, but he just wanted to come out with Cody instead of the skipper, which is fine. And he enjoyed it. And I think it's, you know, the first time we did the honorary captain thing was last year, as you may remember, with Chuck Eldridge's daughter. Charlotte was honorary captain after the council meeting where she so bravely stood up. And it's something we want to do more of. You know, the ball kids, the dream team, giving these kids a chance to be around the players is really important. And I mean, obviously, I pulled a string or two to make sure that my son had an amazing birthday. And he's done it at AFC Wimbledon as well. He was captain there as well. For a pre-season game about 4 years ago. But it's something you'll see more of. I think we're doing it working with some non-profits. Some people have bought them in charity auctions. So you will see more of this happening throughout the year. So it was a bit of a test run to make sure we still remember how to do it after Charlotte did it. So look out for more honorary captains this year as part of our community outreach. Because it is the sort of thing that, you know, I did it as a kid and I never forgotten how it felt to go out on a proper football pitch, holding hands with the captain of the team with a big crowd there. It's the sort of thing kids will never forget. And we want to make sure that, you know, we're in the memory making business and we want to give kids a chance to make memories on the field.
Perfect. Thank you for spending so much time with us this evening. We'll definitely let you go so you can do whatever you have to do. But lastly, I just want to give you a chance to let our fans know that want to come out to the watch party. I know it's all over socials, but if you want to just give a little bit of details on that information, if you have that available, let our fans know where to be on Wednesday night.
Yeah. Well, if you want to know what I'm doing next, I'm in about 15 minutes time recording a podcast with Cody Cropper to talk to him about the MLS, going back to an MLS team in the Open Cup and his sort of experience playing in the two different levels. So my evening will still be talking about Orange County Soccer Club. So my podcast will come out, I think, probably on match day on Wednesday. So obviously the game is on CBS Galazzo. So that's Pluto TV at CBS.com and it's Paramount Plus. But as we always try and do for important games, we want the fans to come together. And we've thought about, where we wanted to do it. And we've got a new partner who wants to work with us. It was a recommendation from a fan that it's a brewery that they know. And so we're all going to 1886 in Orange. They're doing special offers for our fans. If you're wearing OCSC merchandise, then there's discounted beer and food. And Gnarly will be there, as you'd expect. The street team will be there. Quite a lot of our staff will be there. Fortunately, I won't be there. I'll be at the game in Portland, which obviously I'm very excited to be going, although I would have quite liked. I've never been to one of our watch parties because I've always been at the games that you're watching, but it'll be great fun. Now, if we were to be launching a new kit on Tuesday, there's reasonable chance that kit might be on sale at that particular event. I guess we won't know until Tuesday. But we encourage fans, obviously, watch it where you can. The most important thing is that you watch it. But if you want to get together with your fellow fans for some discounted food and drink and a chance to hang out with Gnarly and the team, then get yourself down there. Wouldn't be surprised if any of the non-traveling players will probably pop down there as well. More to come on that. So it's a great chance for you to watch the game together and hopefully we can get a result.
So bring our cash or credit cards just in case there's some new items to purchase at that watch party.
I mean, that would be the thing to do, I think, Ray.
Awesome. And then I got to ask you, prediction. What's your prediction for this match? What's the score going to be?
I'm not sure I'm allowed to do predictions. So I won't do a prediction. All I will say is The Open Cup is very important. And, you know, if we can get a victory in the Open Cup, it'll be an extraordinary thing for the club. I don't think we've beaten an MLS team before. And who knows how the envelopes are going to be done in the next round. But you'd like to think you'd probably be in with a good shout of both the home game and an MLS opponent. So it's a great opportunity for our young players to pit themselves against, you know, MLS players, for some of our guys who've played in the MLS to get that feeling again. It'll probably be the biggest crowd we'll play in front of all year. So I think it'll be a magnificent opportunity. So it should be a great game. All we can ask for is a good game.
That's right. And hopefully get a victory. But thank you once again, OCSC President Dan Rusty. Thank you, as always, for joining the show. And we'll get you back on here again very soon. And hopefully you'll be able to give us more information on stadiums and any other maybe new kits, who knows, in the future. So thank you so much, sir.
No, thank you. I'm not sure I expected to have 42 minutes of airtime. So thank you for all of that. But thank you very much. Appreciate your support.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Let's move right along. We got another guest that's going to join us for this episode. I don't know if we want to talk much more about the Birmingham loss. We lost, gave up some goals. We almost scored a goal, but a save of the week nominee, probably more than likely. I don't know if those, when those come out, stopped us from at least getting a point. We got Chris Walker. You all have seen this gentleman here on our show before.
Yo, what's going on?
He's a part of Seek and Strike. He's part of the Black Diamonds. He's a New Mexico United fan. Also a fellow Clipper fan who's probably just hurting because of injuries with me. But that's a story for another time. Chris, how you doing, man? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, guys. Man, so great to see all your faces. Man, it's been a minute since I've seen Dylan in person. Man, enjoyed some time with him.
It's been a minute since most of us have seen Dylan in person because he's rarely here these days.
Man, that's my boy right there. That's my boy. But yeah, no, it's good to be on. Appreciate you having me. And all of the above are true.
All of the above are true. Really quick, before we get into the Orange County, New Mexico United match, I mean, New Mexico's got a pretty important match this week, I believe, before they face Orange County. And it's that awesome rivalry between Phoenix. How are New Mexico fans ready for that? And is New Mexico, do you think, focusing more on that match against Phoenix, or are they going to focus more against Orange County, or is it going to be just full on for both matches?
I think it's both, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, the sentiment we got in the beginning of the season was that the Open Cup is just as important as well, too. You know, see as far as you can get. I'm pretty sure head coach Zach Prince is certainly wanting to do that. Now, I mean, the last match, we did see a lot of guys who hadn't really gotten minutes in that particular match. This one against, like, obviously a league opponent, I'm pretty sure. I'd imagine we will certainly give them a match. You know, so it's going to be like actual, you know, players on the pitch and yeah. And so, you know, I think we're equally focused on both. I don't, you know.
And is New Mexico welcoming all those Phoenix fans out for the Wednesday match with open arms?
Yeah, but you know, they're not coming. They're probably most of the diehards are probably going to sit on Twitter because, you know, they're not going to have any connection in the stadium to be able to get their banter off. So they'd be better off sitting at their house or wherever they're going to get together to drink their shots of Malort. And, you know, and that's the thing. But I mean, you know, everyone's welcome to the lab, you know, just not everyone wants to come. So, I mean, you know, can't do everything for everyone.
There we go. Are you going to be there?
I will be there.
Awesome. Let's get into this Orange County traveling out to New Mexico this weekend, Saturday, April 29th. If I would have looked at the calendar properly, I would have somehow, some way paid a little bit extra because I'm doing a business trip out to Phoenix on the 30th morning. I would have said, hey, let me fly out to Albuquerque the night before, and then I'll fly into Phoenix from there. But I did not look at it, so darn it. Dylan's like looking like, why would you do that? I like Albuquerque. I got to go get me some Bob's Burgers, get one of those burger tacos with some green chili on it, or a Blake's, you know, a lot of burger. Got to get some of that. And
that's right. I mean, Blake's is giving out free food this year now.
Is it for Phoenix Rising Games?
No, it's for – nah, they're
giving out food?
Yeah, they're giving out food this year. one of the club's partners, so they want to come out and, you know, probably pass out their buffalo chicken boats. And, you know, they've been making all kinds of swaggy food now. That's crazy. Like, buffalo chicken boats with ranch. I'm like, this is not new. This is, it's new to you, but, you know, they got some young workers that are in there, and they're tossing their ideas around, and Blake's is with it. So, cool.
There you go. How's New Mexico season been going so far for those Orange County fans that may have not been paying attention?
Yikes. Oh, man. It's, you know, it's lots of drama. It's just, there's just no wins, man. We had the win in Miami, and then it's been draws, and then, you know, of course, a couple losses, and it's been real hard. I think from a fan's perspective, it's like, okay, well, we're seeing some adjustments being made on the lineups, which is important, because, you know, after you see something for three times, you're like, okay, we need to see a change. And, you know, last year, this team looked different every Saturday. Like, there was not a constant 11. It was always a new lineup. So this year seems a little bit more like, okay, let's keep kind of a static group together. But then when certain players aren't performing, then it's like, okay, well, we're going to make the switch here, right? And that looks positive until they eventually have to sub in those players that maybe weren't performing from the start, you know, that are coming off the bench, and then now they're just not performing that way. Had to take that beer break.
Go ahead, Dylan.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hopefully. But yeah. I was like, whoa, who's coming at me? Who's coming?
Well, hopefully for once my audio is resolved here. I'm seeing no reaction from anyone, so I have to assume
it sounds better, Dylan.
Great. Wonderful. I don't know what's going on. So, great. Chris, long time no see. For anyone who might have the misfortune of being in Albuquerque, other than seeing your face,
okay,
can you recommend something for them to do? I know there's very little, so.
I mean, you can go to Santa Fe, you can go to Meow Wolf. You could go to a spot called Electric Playhouse. You could
go to Los Ojos in Jemez.
You could do that. You could. If you like street art, you could drive around the city and catch like the hidden street art that's out there. There's plenty of it. A lot of artists in the city. So, I mean, it's not too hidden, to be honest with you. You can get a craft brew because they got a lot of spots that are set up for that. Yep. Nexus Brewery. Yep. That is that's also where Black Diamonds host their watch parties at the Smokehouse, though. There's two different restaurants, but we are just at one. There's like a number of things. There's a number of things you could do, to be honest with you.
Well, I like that you gave a lot of options. If any of you are making the trip out, the only thing I can recommend is find Chris.
That's it.
Maybe go eat some falafel, but mostly just find Chris. And
it's funny, though.
Some sunscreen.
It's funny, for that match, I won't be at that match against Orange County. I'll be in Riverside, California. I will be at home with my parents. I am moving my girlfriend out to New Mexico, so I'm driving home, or I'm flying home, and then driving back with her. So I will actually be catching it in Pacific time.
So you're going to be you're going to be in California on that Saturday night?
I'm going to be in California that Saturday night.
Okay. I was going to say, you got to just make the drive a little bit early out to New Mexico, make a stop in Phoenix for Game 7, because the Clippers will pull off the magic and you can be there as a Clipper fan.
I mean, look, I know it's going to happen. I know they're going to get through in 7, but, you know, if I'm trying to be anywhere on Saturday night, you know, I don't know if I can convince the girlfriend to go from Ontario into your hood and, you know, try to catch a game with one of you guys.
All right, so Brad. Then I guess it's my turn to ask a question. So,
hey, come on, let's go.
Yeah, no, I was in your neck of the woods earlier this month, actually. I got to try my first authentic green chili, and it was very delicious.
Ooh, how'd you have it?
How'd I have it? What do you mean by that exactly? Sorry. I am still.
What did you have it on? I'm sorry.
I had it on just authentic Mexican food. I had Cervantes over by the airport because it was close and recommended to us.
Okay. Okay. So you had it on some. Did you have it on your tacos? Did you have it on your beans?
Taco. Okay. Yeah, enchilada, the traditional fare. Okay. My question for you with pertaining to on the field performance, you know, how is New Mexico going to beat us this week? What are they looking at doing to break down Orange County's defense?
Well, I do hope that head coach Zach Prince watched the really breaks down the game film, and I say that kind of like sarcastically because, I mean, like I watched game film that we against like Sacramento and Colorado Springs, you know, before we played Colorado, and I just thought, man, that there were so many opportunities for Colorado Springs for that match as far as, you know, pick some of the things Sacramento did successfully, right? But I mean, obviously, one, we hope that there's a good breakdown on the film, so that's always one thing we hope. I think as far as how we would see New Mexico have like really an opportunity, it's going to be about getting their forwards forward. And it sounds very simple, but you know, we go very central. Everything just gets real compact. Everyone just runs like right in front of the goal box. They're looking for that mouth of the goal, just tons of like net to like put a shot on. And it really shouldn't be so like 2D, right? Like there should be like some other opportunities from the wide angles. So personnel is going to be important for that. Quite frankly, we've been starting a Josh Doling over Greg Hurst, who was with Phoenix last year. The key there is going to be one for Doling to start. That'll be key. We don't have Weehan right now. He's out with a lower body injury, and we don't know how soon we're going to have him back. So there just won't be like – there won't be that reunion per se. But Moreno, you know, and Santi Moir is like obviously they're trying to get forward more, and they're trying to get their foot on balls. It's really going to come down to the production that's happening, like between the defenders and the midfield, to be honest with you. Like, I mean – we're not really seeing many counters, so I can't really offer that as like something that we're doing, but you know, it's the crosses, you know, it's the crosses being in dangerous spots. This last match we were in back four and we've been starting out in back threes, you know what I'm saying? So it's just been a lot of toggling. I honestly think that there could be some of the same that we're used to seeing, which is going to be, you know, midfield attackers coming up the wings, good crosses. Set pieces were not really something that are like our strengths, obviously. But for the most part, I mean, we're trying to get forward, man. I mean, Monterey was probably the best shot that we got to see a little bit of what they were trying to do. It was no longer stereogram soccer, if you will. It was no longer staring at a picture, waiting for the boat to pop out. We were clearly seeing what they were trying to do, so.
Well, I think I speak for everyone when I say that I hope it doesn't go well for you. out of love and respect, Chris. Of love and respect.
Man.
If I may for a second, and I'm trying to figure out a way to just flex the black diamond scarf for a second. But it's been a couple of years and I've been holding on to this dearly for you to come back onto the podcast. Do you wanna maybe any newer people turn them onto the black diamonds? Talk about what you've been up to, what Black Diamonds have been up to.
Yeah, Black Diamonds, man. You know, so that's our Black culture supporters group, you know, and what I mean by that is, you know, we're really looking to kind of elevate and boost the culture and, you know, and make a lot of the conversations that surround that more of the norm, you know. It's not just things happening in February or June, you know. It's a lot of the vantage point for me is, and for our group, is like creating opportunities, right, that where they may not exist. So if that's hosting a clinic with the club, you know, or creating cool immersive events like Career Day at the club, you know, where students can go and learn more about the different duties of the job. Maybe not everyone's a soccer player, right? Maybe some people are graphic designers. Maybe some folks are want to be in broadcast. Like, there's so many different things that United does. And so we're trying to create a lot of different ways for Black youth to catch the soccer bug in any regard, any way we can. So we're doing a lot of different things. We introduced walking soccer at a United Health Fair recently as another inclusive way to kind of get folks to try the game. You know, maybe that spreads to the adults. And then one of the things we're working on right now is we're sponsoring a team of refugee boys from different parts of Africa. So we're selling a couple of shirts that we're using to outfit them, to get them newer uniforms, one for each young man, boots, you know, get them the practice equipment they're going to need, things to sustain it, and then really just build upon it, you know, and really try to, you know, build something around them a little bit. And this is kind of a route we took, because, I mean, initially it was like, well, let's create a free soccer program from scratch, you know what I mean? But the signs just really pointed to these young men that were already together, that were, you know, were like a team together. And it was like, well, there's no reason to still be so focused about creating something from scratch when maybe you can create something around these young men, you know, and maybe they'll be mentors, you know, and that sort. So that's kind of the route we're taking, you know, and then we're just trying to find more ways to involve the community in what's going on with soccer, but then also going into the community to be a part of what they're doing. So just doing that. Now, Dylan, that scarf you got is very limited edition. A lot of people are after that scarf. The scarf features a full alphabet of Adinkra symbols, the West African alphabet. And we decided not to leave one off. So we put the whole alphabet on there on both sides, and then obviously emphasized the ones that, you know, spoke a little bit deeper with like our supporters group. So we have the Adinkra Henny, which is a circle, and then the Nsiwiwa leaf, which is on there as well. The circle being leadership characteristics, and then the leaf being like living in harmony together. So that's a very limited edition one, man. People are after it. I mean, I'm just saying. So, you know, someone's like trying to scarf swap you. Like, I would say not until we're back in print.
So what Chris is saying, if you're ever down in your luck, Dylan, you need some money that goes up on eBay, you're going to be set for life, right?
I mean, the reality is this, Ray. Like, we had a couple of friends that are Black Diamond supporters, and they were in LA for a Man U match, and then they ended up coming across one of the supporter groups there, the 42 Originals, and they were rocking that same scarf that Dylan had, and they were like, hey, is that Black Diamonds? And they were like, it sure is. They're all, man, I've been trying to get my hands on one of those. So they swapped it. But that's how Black Diamonds is out there. It's like out there in Cali too, you know?
I will not be sharing, so no one come asking. Chris, we did throw the socials up on the live broadcast.
Appreciate
for those
that.
Who are watching. Do you want to shout out what they might be for those who are listening, or anything that you might want to shout out, whether that's New Mexico involved or Black Diamonds involved?
Yeah. So, I mean, socials, Black Diamonds NM as in New Mexico on Twitter and Instagram, as well as for Facebook as well, Black Diamonds NM or New Mexico. I would say the things I would shout out, and if there's an organization that you're like, oh, hey, I've, after listening to Chris talk a little bit, and there's any organizations in his locale that I might want to contribute to or donate to at some point, look up Global Women's Pathway. I think their website is www.irrva, Immigrant Refugee Resource Village. But like, look them up. I mean, there's a woman, her name is Nkazi Senadile, and she's from South Africa, and you know, she's pretty much given all her time to get women and children back on their feet that are refugees or immigrants. And so she's teaching them English as a second language, as well as getting them like into like doing textiles and different trades as a way to make a life. And so we're really like love that organization. So, I mean, we're really looking for opportunities or different ways to obviously support them. So that's a lot of our efforts are going to go that way this year too, as well.
Chris, thank you for sharing and for, you know, really taking community to heart. If we go back to the pitch, rapid fire quickly,
let's do it.
Start with your score prediction for this game. And if there is a score from New Mexico, their name.
Wait, before we do this, though, really
before
quick.
Before we do this.
Really
before we do this, Brad, do we have the prediction website or form up and available for people to put in their predictions?
Yes, sir. It's been available.
Awesome. So, Chris, your prediction will be my official prediction for this match. So make a good one. And it's the score. And unfortunately for my prediction, you have to say who would score first for Orange County. So I'll need that from you as well.
Oh, wait. So you got me going first, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You said it was rapid fire. You know, I'm going to say that it's a 3-2. New Mexico victory.
And who scores for Orange County, Chris?
And who scores one. For you?
Who scores first?
I'll give you Thomas and Long. How about that?
All right. Perfect.
Y'all still have him, right? You didn't lose him?
Not yet.
Dylan, what's your prediction since your mic's
going,
up and on?
Yeah, 1-1. Emil Nielsen scoring the first.
Brad, what about you?
So I'm outsourcing my opinion too. I'm going to say 2-0. I'm not going to disclose my sources. Emil Nielsen.
You gotta share who your source is. Come on.
What really journalist do. Would lose their integrity by disclosing sources that don't want to be disclosed?
What makes you think that we have any integrity to begin with, Brad?
There we go.
We just
there
had we the go, team Brad. President of the team on. I think there's some integrity in that.
You guys got some integrity.
Probably because I didn't speak.
Hey, look, you got the president of another supporters group on your podcast right now too. So,
we got two president. We did double president night tonight. Man,
you did.
Look at that. My prediction. I mean, Chris is my official prediction for the contest that we have. But my prediction today will be let's go 5-0 New Mexico. Obviously, that would be no score for Orange County. Dylan loves that prediction. By the way, for those not watching the podcast, he loves when I do that. And Chris, I think, liked it too. So awesome.
It's not the first time I've heard this one. And, you know, and if y'all put some kids in there, we might be able to make that one happen for you.
The hope is that it's just totally opposite what I say, because obviously if you let's look at where our standings are as we speak right now, really quick. Let's pull up the graphic, Mr. Producer. There's the standings. You can see how great I'm doing on these predictions. Obviously, it's because usually I have a guest pick for me, so it doesn't really go well. There we go.
Man, you guys got Milan still too, huh?
We do have Milan.
That guy is like the crux in every New Mexico match. He always finds a way. I hope he
does. Is he the one that led the he was the conductor after his goal last season or two seasons ago, right?
Oh yeah.
Maybe we'll get to see that again.
Yeah. I think we avenged that when we got that victory over at Championship Stadium. And blocked that PK. That was money right there.
We'll have to remind him of that, though, so we can try and see that. I loved that moment. That was an awesome moment. Let's get into some quick random thoughts, and then we'll wrap things up. I mean, we had two presidents on. We went a little bit longer than normal. Random thought from you, Brad.
My random thought is just applied for an apartment today. That was a fun little experience, and hopefully it won't cost me too much more money than only applying to one place.
All right. Random thought from you, Dylan.
I'm starting to think that the Amish, by just neglecting any sort of technology, might actually have the solution to life's issues.
All right. Chris, random thought from you.
Having a dead arm doesn't necessarily take your mind off of the fact that you've got water retention in the opposite limb and part of the body.
Okay. My random thought is My random thought is when you're playing a Monday night adults men's basketball league and someone thinks they're Dylan Brooks and you're LeBron James, it does not feel good for 3 hours after contact happens to a certain area of the male anatomy. So I'm still a little sore from that. Hopefully I recover and I'm not sore tomorrow. But yeah, it's not fun when someone thinks they're Dylan Brooks and attacks you.
You got to throw the ball up, though. You got to get the back of the shot.
No, the horrible part is the ref did not call a foul at all on it either. So, and I'm sitting there like writhing in pain and, you know, just sort of screaming on the floor. So, yeah, that's it. Let's wrap things up on here. I want to say thank you for Chris for joining us. And Chris, I just got to say this. Have faith. Clippers are going to pull it off, even though there's no Kawhi, no Paul George again tomorrow. But somehow we'll make it work in Phoenix. And we'll get to game 7 and we'll somehow steal it. For Brad, for Dylan, for producer Andy, and president of Orange County Soccer Club, Dan Rutstein. All y'all listening, contributing, commenting, thank you so much. This is the Orange and Black Soccer Cast, and we are out. Orange County, you are my team, you are